Cause for Concern, written by Margaret York and read by Sheila Mitchell.
Chapter 1. The train took him from the airport back to London. At Victoria, he rang her, telling her when to meet him at Rotherstone Halt, then burrowed into the underground. He was tired after his trip and he didn't like waiting around, so she'd better be there. His call had been from a public telephone at the station, so Susan realised that he must have lost his mobile phone again, or failed to charge it. But, as always, finding an excuse, she thought that might be difficult overseas, though he often needed it to contact the office. At least, so he told her. Some of the through trains now had telephones installed, but it wouldn't occur to him to use one, or even to ask to borrow a fellow passenger's mobile. If he missed the train, he'd enjoy thinking of her waiting at the station in the cold, damp night. He'd sounded curt, and her heart sank as she backed the Citroën out of the garage and into the road. After these trips, occasionally he was briefly in a good humour, ready to appreciate being home and comfortable. But if he'd been drinking, his mood would already be aggressive. One of these days he'd drink too much while leading a tour, and then what would happen? There had already been complaints about his aloof manner, and he'd been angry enough to let her know about them. If he were violent to a client, there'd be no more chances. She didn't think he was ever intimate with a guest. There were often lone women on the tours he conducted, and she sometimes wished he would find one to whom he could get close. It would offer her an escape. But he was too comfortable in their well-run house, with her dancing to his tune. And he saved his rage for her. Linda was already sitting in the window seat when the man in the ginger tweed suit got into the train just before it left and sat opposite her. He opened a plastic bag and took out a can of beer, which he opened and proceeded to drink. After it had gone, he produced a second and began on that. Linda frowned. She'd avoided looking at him as he heaved a large briefcase into the overhead rack and edged behind the table between them, dumping the bag beside him when he sat down. To get up and move away would be obviously hostile. While she hesitated, more people entered the carriage, and another man took the seat next to her, effectively pinning her in. From the tail of her eye, she noticed that he wore a dark suit. He carried a laptop, which he put on the table and opened. She couldn't move now, but he was a sort of protection. Linda determined to ignore the beer drinker and opened her book, the latest Maeve Binchy, knowing it would soon carry her mentally away from the train and her immediate surroundings. When the man opposite stretched his legs so that his feet bumped hers, she drew her own back, tucking them under her, reading on. As the train moved off, the man facing Linda pulled a pack of onion rings and another of crisps from his plastic bag, opened both, and began thrusting the contents into his mouth, munching away. Crumbs fluttered onto the table, and a strong smell of onion mingled with vinegar was wafted towards her. Her suited neighbour also noticed it, and leaned against the back of his seat, pulling his computer closer to him. "He's afraid of crumbs," Linda thought, shrinking back to resting her book on the table's edge to protect Maeve Binchy from contamination. It was dark outside now. In the warm, lighted cocoon of the train, hundreds of people, mostly strangers to one another, many of them commuters returning late after a long working day, were borne through the night towards varied destinations, isolated, solitary individuals, sharing only the experience of the journey. The man, facing her, finished his feast and abandoned the empty packs on the table in front of him. Then he began drumming his fingers on it and humming a tuneless dirge. Linda bent lower over her book, while the man in the dark suit carried on with what he was doing on his computer, apparently undeterred. Linda could still smell the mixture of onion and vinegar. The man moved his legs again, stretching them, knocking her feet, not apologising. Everyone else in the carriage was reading their paper or sleeping in temporary limbo. Linda tried to pretend a wall had arisen between her and her opposite neighbour.